Hello, everybody. Good evening. This week is Parshas Terumah, and we are continuing to learn the Lamatas Malachas of Shabbos, the 39 Malachas, and we're up to the Malacha of Kaisev and Moichek, which is writing and erasing. So this actually is the culmination of the section of the 39 Malachas, which deals with making hide from an animal into parchment, and that was for the purpose of writing and erasing. The malacha of writing is to write two letters which have some sort of symbolism or meaning. And in the Mishkan, what they would do is, it's actually this week's parasha, so that's good timing, they would have krushim. So the krushim are the beams that made the walls of the Mishkan, and there were many of them. And the halacha was that wherever one was placed, it always had to be placed in the same spot. So how did you keep track of where each keresh, each beam should go? So they would write a letter on the top of one beam, and then on the adjacent beam, they would write the same letter. So they would write Aleph on the top of one beam, and then they would write Aleph on the beam next to it. Then the other edge of the beam, they'd write Beis, and then the next beam, they'd write Beis. So you knew Aleph goes next to Aleph, Beis goes next to Beis. And that was the way they wrote two letters, which didn't spell a word. Aleph and Aleph don't spell a word, but yet they had a symbolism, they meant something. And that is the way the malacha is. That's the malacha, and that's how that malacha is transgressed as far as the Torah is concerned. If you write even just one letter, which means something or communicates something, it's an Issur Drabanan. that's Asur Midrabanan, like all of the malachas of Shabbos, that even if you do half of it, it's also a malacha. And, excuse me, it's not limited to letters. Any symbol or picture that conveys meaning is prohibited. So a squiggle that happens to be your signature, right, even though it's not actually legible, but that's your signature. So that would be writing, and that would be prohibited. Minat Torah, or a circle or a triangle, anything, any picture even, that conveys a meaning is included in this malacha. Now, typically, actually writing on Shabbos is not something which generally comes up. It's not really a challenge on Shabbos to write or not to write. But there are two situations where it does come up. So one is, let's say, if a person needs medication on Shabbos, and it's pikuach nefesh, it's a medication that can't be skipped. Sometimes this happens when a person gets discharged from the hospital Friday night, or a child gets discharged from the hospital Friday night, and they have to start taking medication right away. So you need to get that medication on Shabbos. And when you go to a pharmacy, they require you to sign. And another second situation, very similar, is if lo aleinu, someone has to go to a hospital on Shabbos and they require you to sign to be admitted. So I believe that the CVS over here understands that when it's Shabbos, and they've had this experience in the past, they'll allow you to take it without a signature. But many times that's not the case. So what do you do? So what's the ideal approach? The ideal approach is two things that you can do in that kind of situation. One is to sign with your left hand if you're a righty, or vice versa, if you're a lefty with your right hand. So sign with the wrong hand. And that will reduce the malacha to a drabanan by itself, because you're doing the malacha in an unnatural way. It's a shinui, and a shinui always reduces the malacha to a drabanan. Now, it's important to note, and this is a rule regarding a lot of things in Hilchos Shabbos, but that a shinui, this kind of shinui, using the wrong hand, doesn't work for everything. So let's say in this case, let's say you're typing, right? So if you type, using your left hand is not a shinui, because the left hand is used both hands when you type. If you're tapping on your phone, your left hand is not a shina. People tap with either hand on the phone. It's not normal to do one way more than the other. Likewise, even here in writing, if you were to use a stamp, right? You know, like if you stamp something, it doesn't make a difference which hand you use, because it's not a righty or lefty thing. So not every situation does a right hand or left hand make a difference. In writing, typically it does. You write with one hand, so using the wrong hand would make an afkamina. Now, a lot of times the signature pads these days are all digital. So a digital signature pad is likely not called Kaisev, at least not Minat Torah anyway. So regardless, if you use your right hand or your left hand, it's probably anyway Drabanan, because the image doesn't remain. And at any time you write something where it's not going to remain, it will not be a Malacha Minat Torah anyway. So signing a digital pad, which is, I believe nowadays, probably 99% of the case, would not be derisa anyway, so that you wouldn't even have to bother with the right hand, left hand. Now, Now, the next thing you can do, and this is a good idea, is that when you need to sign, you don't have to actually sign your real signature. They don't care, and they're not going to compare it to your real signature. So you could just do is you could do a squiggle, right? And the squiggle actually means nothing, because it's not your signature. But for them, that's enough. That's all they need is a squiggle. So it doesn't symbolize anything. So you haven't even transgressed the melacha probably at all. I don't think it's not permitted. But again, you've reduced it to even maybe even less than a drabanan. So that would be another thing that you could and should do. If you have to do a signature, just make a squiggle and leave it at that. Now, the way the melacha of writing does typically apply on Shabbos is forming words or letters when those letters have already been written. Now, there are a few cases of this, and we're going to continue, Be'ez Hashem, next week with this as well. But the most famous case, which is discussed at length in the Paiskim as early as the 1500s, is when a book or a sefer has words written on the side, which we're going to refer to as library books, because I don't know if they still do, but at least they used to, have the stamped on the side the name of the library. So what happens is that when you open the book, it erases that writing, and you close it, now you've written again. So every time you open and close the book, you're writing. So there is a... first of all, just to clarify that this only applies when there's actual writing on the side. But like many Sfarim, if I have any examples over here, many Sfarim have like colors on here. They have like colors on the edges. So, but that doesn't communicate anything. That's not a problem at all. That's not even a shiloh. You're allowed to open and close that. But it's only when there's actual writing on the side that it's a question. So the Ramah, who wrote... besides writing on Shulchan Aruch, he also wrote a tshuva sefer, answers questions. He discusses this, and he gives two reasons why it's permitted, which is what we hold, that it's permitted, even though we say it's better if you have another one, use another one, but we hold it's permitted. What is the two reasons? Very interesting. One reason is because he says it's like a window, right? Do we say that every time you open a window, hey, you've made a hole in the wall, it's stira, and every time you close a window, you fix the hole in the wall, so it's baina? No, we don't say that. Why? Because it's designed to be opened and closed and opened and closed. So therefore, it's not bayin and it's not steer. It's made for that purpose. So here too, he says a book that's made to be open and closed and open and closed is not called writing and erasing. It's just like opening and closing a window. That's one thing he says. The second thing he says, a whole different idea, is that being that the letters have already been written, and you're just taking them and separating them and then putting them back together again, but you're putting back together letters that have already been written, so that, he says, is also not considered writing. Moving letters around, or pieces of letters around, to form when they've already been letters and you're just taking them and reassembling them, that is not called writing. So these are the two svaras that he says. One is that a book is like a window, you're opening and closing, it is not building and breaking. And number two is that the letters have already been written and you're just reassembling them. Now, there are many differences between these two approaches, and which have a lot of ramifications. For example, one of the classic examples is, let's say you have a sitter on Shabbos and the page is ripped, okay? So the page is ripped and you want to be able to read it. So what do? You try to align the two sides of the page that got ripped so that you can read them. Now what you're doing is it got torn between words, and when you put it together, now you're creating a word. So this depends on which svara we're going to utilize. The svara that it's like a door and a window doesn't apply here, because it wasn't made to be open and closed, right? It's that is applicable to a book that you open and close. Something that got ripped is not designed to do that, so you're fixing it when you put it together. So that svara would not be a good reason to be lenient. But the other idea, which is it's already been written and you're just reassembling it, that does apply, and that would be a reason to be lenient. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says you can't do it, because he goes with the other svara. Most Paiskim agree, no, you can, that the primary reason to be lenient is that the words have already been written, and therefore you can reassemble them. Again, if there's another sitter, you should use another sitter, but otherwise you would be permitted to do that. That's one approach. Another case, classic, right, is can you play Scrabble on Shabbos? So what are you doing when you're playing Scrabble? You're taking words and you're assembling them. Now, they're not attached like a house and a window or a door, so you don't have that idea that it's designed to be open and closed. That idea you don't have. But you do have the concept that the letters are all written and you're just assembling them together, so you're not writing, you're just assembling. That svara does apply, and that would allow it to be done. Now, as it happens, when you're playing Scrabble, mostly it's like bananagrams, where it doesn't attach to anything. So it's not called writing at all, because there's nothing even holding them together, so they're not even connected as a word. So that would anyway be allowed. But, you know, there's a travel Scrabble where it clicks in, or there's other forms, or like a puzzle, actually, a puzzle which has words or even images which they connect together. there would be exactly this question. According to one svara, it would not be lenient, but according to the idea that once it's been written, you can reassemble it, there is room to be lenient. Now, again, being that this is something which is a machlokes, so therefore we say, don't play that kind of Scrabble on Shabbos, don't make puzzles, but for children, certainly when they're a little younger, like less than 11 years old, we are lenient with that. So a child can make a puzzle, and a child can play with these kind of things, but an adult should rather not do it if possible, because there's room to be machmir on this. Next week, Be'ez Hashem, we'll go into this further, and we'll talk about cakes and cookies with the writing on it as well.